It's my privilege to introduce our guest speaker to you this morning, Vera Turangi, and for many, Vera requires no introduction at all. Vera was born in former Yugoslavia and immigrated to Canada with her husband shortly after they were married, I believe. I'm not sure what year you actually came. But difficulties that they had in those early years of marriage led her to look to the Lord for help and for salvation. And many years later, they felt God's call to return to their homeland. And they left behind successful businesses here in Canada to do so. They believed that God had an opening for them to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others in Serbia. And so they left. And I think they took with them at the time two girls. Well, Vera is a mother of five. Her firstborn son was born prematurely and is in heaven. And she has three daughters and one son, and is the grandmother of four, and number five is on the way. Vera is a visionary, and in this capacity, she has been involved with her husband in planting a church, in reaching out to the poor, in visiting refugees and orphans, and the terminally ill. I say that she's a visionary, and she is. She has begun many ministries. One of them is a hospice ministry, and most recently, she and her husband are involved in a drug rehab center. She's a woman of passion who loves the Lord, and she loves to share what God has and is doing in her life. So we welcome Vera to come and speak to us this morning.
Shelly?
It's okay. I'm just going to stand right here. This time I have notes. That's a change. I never take notes. Just to make Shelly feel better so she doesn't get too nervous as I wander off the track. It's been really good to see you. Last time I was here, not long ago, it seems like I closed the season and opened it. I talked about some stones in your pocket, and I was listening today. Nobody's got any stones in the pocket. You're all doing good. Some of you that don't know what I'm talking about, I talked about forgiveness and about those little things that we sometimes carry around just in case, you know. Now that we keep our heart clean, we're moving on to another subject today, and that's seasons of life, to be ready. So appropriate. God has been putting this message on my heart for so long. I, this morning, think about it and I say, wait, talk about changes in life. I've been there. Send a child to school, I never forget. There was a little bus going to take our little girl to a trip, which was maybe, 5 kilometers away, and I'm standing there waiting, crying, hoping nobody sees me, waiting her to come back. The little kids leaving just for a while. It's hard. And then they leave for longer. And then you come to an empty nest, which we are, where we are at the moment. Life journey. We were on the plane coming from Serbia just 2 weeks ago. And as we're sitting somewhere in the middle, always get somehow the back of the plane. I don't know how, who, and where, and how do they get the good seats up in the front. You always get the back seat. No matter when you book it, it's always. I just keep going. But I said to my husband, one thing is good. There are no little kids around. One thing I like about traveling now, it used to be, can you imagine, poor little kids overseas so many times? One is here, one is here, one is here, one is on the floor. You always get that seat where the kids are. And the husband snoring somewhere out there. Then after 9 hours, you arrive at the other end and say, oh, that was a good trip, wasn't it? Oh, it was a hard trip, many times. So finally, now we're in the back of the plane, just him and me, get the book. I don't care anymore how long the trip is. I got my little TV, I got a book. But there was a little girl, she was 5, 6 years old. And I keep smiling, but she's nice. She won't be making any noise, she'll be good. From the time we entered, seriously, she had 2 sentences to repeat over and over, screaming, I want to get off this plane now. And she's only with her father. And another sentence is, I don't want the buckle on. I don't want the buckle on. I want to get off this plane now. And it went like for an hour. We were all turning around. The poor father was looking down. This little girl was constantly making this noise. I want to get up. And I'm going, please, I want earplugs. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me, you need to hear this. Because this was for you. We want to get off this plane. We don't want to be buckled up. We have our wishes. We find ourselves on a journey that we do not like. We find ourselves in a circumstance that we're thinking, when is it going to end? I want to get off. And this father just ignored her. Can you imagine? She was kicking. She was so upset. Finally, she was quiet. I'm looking, what happened? She's asleep. She was so exhausted from screaming. Seriously. And the poor man, pale as anything, I'm sure he would have liked to slap her, spank her, anything, but you have to behave in the plane. There's other ways. Pinching is good. We used to do that. I was going to come over and whisper in his ear. I'm sure. I want to get on this plane now. Why am I back alone? I could repeat it over again, the same sound. On and on and on. Well, old enough to go to school. That's how we are. On life journey. We find ourselves traveling where we didn't want to, behaving the way we don't want others to behave. We are on this journey and we do not want this buckle on. What kind of a father would open up the door when pilot, I have an emergency, can you just open the door? I gotta get this kid out. I mean, she asked so many times, right? And that's us. We just want to get off. I mean, here I am, stuck in these circumstances, these children, endless, diapers, dirty, husband never comes back on time. I'm just stuck in this jerk. I didn't plan this. When he arrived on the white horse and the wedding was and the music, it was beautiful. It was all going to be lovely and cute forever. Well, it's not so. Don't you find yourself stuck thinking, what am I here for? Dirty diaper all over the crib. Talk about diarrhea, cleaning up over and over and over again. Endless job, thinking, what am I doing here? Where is life going to begin? But this is the journey. For some of you, extremely difficult. You've been stuck with a handicapped child. You have been living with children that never say thank you. They only argue. You've been living with a man that maybe is unfaithful. You've been going through all kinds of circumstances. You're looking after aged people, parents. You have totally got what you did not bargain for, and you want to get off. Don't put this buckle on me. But let me tell you, in life turbulence, we need to buckle up, and there are many. We have to be ready. Who can help us on this journey? What is he like? So many of us have this terrible picture of God. Why doesn't he give me what I want? Why does not he listen to what I'm asking for? I've been saying it so many times. Get these kids out of my way. I've been praying for my husband to change. I've been praying for this pastor in the church to change. I've been praying for these many things that go through wherever you are all in some circumstance in your life, some season in life, on some journey. And in your own circumstance, you may be crying out, get me out of here. But to remember, what is he like, would help us so much to just quiet down and accept. I'm speaking out of that. We've been in ministry for 27 years. To go back, number one, was very hard. Shelley said, two little kids. Yeah, two little kids. One 3, 1 6 months. Went back there, child was born with cancer. Nobody comes to the Lord. I thought it would be wonderful. People would be lining up. I mean, I got this sacrifice, putting up with so much to leave this country and go over there. Nothing happens. Cancer child. Come back here. Enter another lonely, terrible season of my life. And on it goes, and it didn't end there. And we could talk about that forever, but I'm not focusing on my season. I'm just trying to tell you that unless I had worked on my picture of God, I would have given up. I see so many people give up. We started churches. One and another and another. Let me tell you, it didn't just happened. Oh, there's the church. It's wonderful not to see the church. You know how much in-betweens there are to get this church to the place where it's today, to see these people? How many people left? They got their buckle off and just ran off as soon as the first problem came along. Because life can get hard unless you know him. Religion is not enough. Church will not sustain you in a difficult time of your life. What is he really like? I believe that Shari spoke a lot when you had your weekend away about holding on to Jesus. What is he really like? We see him in the New Testament and in his encounters with individuals. He knows you. He loves you. To quite grasp that and understand that he is in love with you. Yes, we often hear it, but we think, yes, everybody else. But if he only knew me, he cannot love me, because nobody really knows what I'm like when I'm alone. Nobody really likes my downfalls. Nobody really likes my habits. Nobody really likes, and the list goes on. No, no, no. God loves you. You are not an orphan. You are not an orphan. You are a child of God. And big, big problem is that we have this terrible picture of him. That was, for me, a problem. Time in my life where I could finally break this frame. You know, we have this picture that we frame. This is what God is like. Well, that's not going to sustain me in that time of trouble. As soon as the problem comes, then I say, oh, God, I knew it. I deserve it. Another spanking on my head because I'm misbehaving. The Father is all for you. He is all loving. He doesn't want to pinch. He doesn't want to hit. He listens and acts according to his love in the perfect time and moment. He doesn't open the door of the airplane, but when it lands and he helps you through because he has a plan. See, unless you understand that, you will go from bad to worse. Here and there something nice happens and more problems. I remember when I was growing up, sometimes there were six children. I'm the youngest of the six children, and we used to laugh and, you know, do the children stuff, and my mother would say, laugh, laugh, you know, cry in the end. Have you heard that one? Like, don't even be happy. I learned already, okay, if I'm happy, I'm going to be crying again. So, just learning to constantly live in the gloom. A life journey that you're on. He is aware. He is with you. And he has a very good plan for you. He has a purpose for you. What is he really like? The Bible is full. Why is it good to read the Bible? You've got this beautiful gift. Psalms and all the promises that God has for us, that he will be there. And I literally had to hold on to the promises of God in the circumstances of my life. How else can one cope when you hear that your child has cancer in the fourth stage, he will not live? How else to live when the bombs are falling over your head? How else to cope with all kinds of problems that come your way? How else to lose the child that you carried in your womb for so long? And you have your own list of things. How else? So many times I say, I wonder how people do it without God. You see, God never designed for you to do it on your own. It is people too hard. No matter how good you are, you can never do it, and you don't have to. God wants to be there for you in the seasons of life. To be ready. How can one be ready for something like this? As Shelly mentioned, we run a drug rehabilitation center. There's about 20 guys at each given moment. Some stay longer, some don't, some disappoint us, some leave, some are good. It's the hardest and the most beautiful ministry we have been involved in. I grew to love those young men so much. It's very difficult when any of them don't finish and go back. Just a month, just before we came, there was a young man that we had in the center over a year. He came because he was living on the bench in the park. He didn't have a home. He's an orphan. He doesn't have anybody. Oh, it was so good to have him, to love him, to extend care, to give him what he needs, and to see him do well. A year went by, and he was not ready to go out yet, and he says, I'm leaving. Where are you going? I don't know. You're going to go, when you open the door, are you going to go left or are you going to go right? I don't know. He's got nowhere to go. And then there's nothing I can do. He he wants to go. And there's many others like it's disappointing. But some stay. And those guys that are in the center, something that they like to do is lift weights. They wanna, you know, they wanna look good when they get out. Can you imagine those weights with having two balloons on the end? Instead of the weights, have two balloons. Just keep practicing to be ready, right? That's what so many of us do. We got these balloon things, we push and push in the air, and not, no muscles. Have you been practicing in no muscles? They've got to be awake. For us to develop the spiritual muscles, for us to get spiritually strong, God sends us through difficult times in our life. Unfortunately, there is no other way you will grow. Show me a person that has everything perfect and wonderful, everything good. There's not much probably to the character there. We grow through seasons in our life. Which seasons we're talking? Mentioned we have now fall, spring, summer. But what I want to talk to you about is winter, out of season. In 2 Timothy 4:2, Paul says, be ready in all times, in season and out of season. Here's a man who's been through trouble, who's had a hardship, who's had a rough life. But he says to Timothy, be ready. See, we take it for granted. We just go, oh, whatever. You gotta be ready. You gotta prepare. Winter is coming. I walked around the mall the other day. You know what's in stores now? Oh, bikinis are coming out. Nice sandals and flip-flops are coming out. No, what's coming out? The winter. The winter clothes, the winter wardrobe, the colors of the fall, because we're all preparing for winter. Who likes winter? When we talk about winter, you want to walk around? Oh, that's all right. My notes are here. See, I'm constantly looking at my notes. Yeah, we want to be ready for the winter. Winter is, when I talk about spiritual winter, it's not like this winter. I've had 54 winters in my life. Because I know, that's how old you are, that's how many winters you have. But spiritually, you may be 50 and you have maybe 80 winters in your life. Maybe you had 3. They don't stay as long as calendar winters, neither do they appear. It's all different. But all of a sudden, we find ourselves in this season that's called a winter. We can be ready for different seasons in our life. How does one get ready? So let's go back. Remember that on this life journey, you are not alone. You can be if you want to. Maybe you're here first time thinking, who is this Jesus? What is he really like? He is the one that's after you and has given his life so you don't have to struggle through life alone. Life is way too hard. He wants to be there with you through seasons of life. Winter is hard. I don't, for me, many times I said to people, if you go anywhere on vacation skiing, don't send me a postcard, don't bother. I won't appreciate it. I don't like winter. Don't like winter. And there won't be snow in heaven, I said. But somebody said, you can go somewhere where it's really, really hot. The other side. I don't want that either. I just am not, you Canadians all like winter. And when you visit the countries like ours, even if it's cold, you walk around with flip-flops and we're going, which planet are they from? Because you're used to winter. You like it.
No.
Nobody likes winter. Some, you know what the macho guys, they come showing off their muscles in the short sleeves when they come and visit and unload the shoe boxes and all that. Saying they like winter. We don't like winter. I don't like winter. Now that I'm in menopause and I get these hot flashes that we're talking about. Sometimes I say, I used to like summer, now I like winter. Deep inside, oh, it comes in handy sometimes, right? Two things about menopause that are good. You get hot, you're not cold anymore, and then you don't sleep, you get so much done. So early in the morning, and I'm just doing it all. No need to sleep. But I'm going to share with you that God allows winters for a reason. Number one, winter kills bugs. Winter kills bugs, right? We grew up in the, I grew up as a child, number 6, in a very poor area. We had a garden and we lived on what the earth produced. And, you know, we had the potatoes and all the other vegetables, and I used to hear my parents worrying about the winter that was not strong enough. It didn't kill bugs. The bad winter is really not good for the farmers. Did you know that? So we need good winter. And spiritually for us, it is the same. God sends number of winters in each of our lives, and he knows exactly who needs how many and how. Each one of us is different. For us to bear more fruit. See, it's all about us. Why are we even here? Let's go back to the beginning. Why did even God create us to be on this planet Earth? He has a purpose. And that is for us to bear fruit. When I say that, you're thinking, oh, right, like bring thousands of people to Christ. No. You bear fruit where you are. See, bearing fruit is not hard work. Bearing fruit is abiding. I see my father chop off all these grapes, and he chops it all down to the bottom. It doesn't look even, it looks dead. And then all it does, it just abides there. It's there, and there is fruit the next year. Lots of grapes. See, I've been in ministry for over 27 years in Serbia. Let me tell you, there were seasons throughout those years that I felt, man, I can't do this anymore. You know, it's hard work. So many disappointments. Talk about quitting. Did you know that one out of 10 pastors stay in the ministry? How many people leave? And it's becoming an epidemic everywhere. It's not easy. It's easy to start something, but to come to the finish, it's hard. But it's difficult. Throughout these 27 years, I used to think, man, I don't want another person to come to Christ. That would mean more work for me. I came through a deep depression over just hard work. So I would come in the back of the church last and leave first. Not nice for the pastor's wife, let me tell you. Whining and crying, and it was so hard, I was exhausted. I went through my season of very lonely time overworked. Because we can so easily allow this people-pleasing thing to get into our life. We can get sin into our life of unforgiveness, which I talked the last time. Different attitudes that are in our heart that maybe nobody knows about. The only way to deal with that, God deals with that, with winter. He allows winter to kill all these bugs in your heart. And maybe you're wondering, why am I in this situation at the moment that I'm in? Why doesn't God make it easier for me? Look at her life. Look at her life. And that's something that we often do. Oh, I wish I had Vera's life. No, you don't. You want to be where I've been from the beginning to today? Or we so easily want what somebody else has, right? Her life. Look how good it is. Look at that and look at that. But we don't know all the details, right? Only God knows what he's doing with her, but with you. He is doing something with you. He wants to get more juice out of you. He doesn't do it so that he says, work harder. No. Abide in me. Come to me. What is your relationship with him? We can get so caught up with just church business, doing things that are right, which is all very good. But who's feeding your soul in the morning? Where are you getting fed? There's the cereal box, there's the bagel, there's the cream cheese. What about the soul? We can even read something and chalk it right off. We've done that, but I need more than that. I was getting dry a while back thinking, yeah, right. Okay, I know it all up here. We know it all up here. But we need it here when the news hit us. When the phone rings, you've got cancer. When we say our child is hit in a car accident or something major that happened, we need more than just a knowledge. We need to feel connected. I have a friend that I led to the Lord here in Canada, just before we went to the field. That was the first person I led to the Lord. Her name is Jean. She lives here in Canada. We got connected through children's sickness. Her son was also sick with cancer, but with the kidneys. they were undeveloped kidneys, and our son had cancer of both kidneys. So hospital, church, we met, and I was able to connect with her and talk. And she asked me one day, "What do you mean, am I a Christian?" Very offended. Somebody in the church asked her, "Can you believe it, if she is a Christian?" Well, I tried to explain what they really meant, maybe, is, do you have the relationship? Do you have the relationship with Jesus? Because that's what you need for life. And after we talked and that, she discovered that she didn't. She was going to church, she had it up here, but she didn't have the relationship. And I was able to lead her to the Lord. But let me tell you, winter after winter hit her home, almost to the point of saying, "Jean, I'm so sorry. All these things are happening to you. I wonder why God is up to." Her 18-year-old boy, or 18 or 19, was in a car with his fiance. They were to be married, and they were killed in a car accident, both on an Oakville Willow Bridge when they hit the ice. It's now 10 years ago. Terrible. I don't know if anything worse can happen. Both of them died, were buried the same day. 2 years ago, she was over the bridge, on the Burlington Bridge, lost the control, and she said, "Here I am, Jamie, I'm coming to you." She thought that was the last. Ambulance picked her up. She was all broken into pieces. Just barely discovered. And a couple of months ago, I hear, "Unless I have a transplant of my lungs, I will not live." Very, very difficult. Boy with kidney problems, after 20-some years, finally had a transplant. Has been on dialysis. Terrible. Can anything worse happen to one home? So much pain condensed in one little family. But we think our pain is the greatest. And I said, "Jean, I'm so sorry." Oh, she says, "No, don't be. Because how would I cope through these things if I did not have Christ?" I don't know what's waiting for you tomorrow. Some of the ladies that were here last time, they are no longer. We just don't know what the next day brings. But to be connected. When our son was in the hospital for almost 2 years with chemotherapy, 16, 17 months, I lived basically in McMaster Hospital, having two little girls at home. One picture will never leave me. He was connected to the IV through the Hickman catheter that goes into the artery. So that's where they gave him more pain or more painkillers, or took out the blood so they didn't have to poke him. It was a blessing. I thank God for that pain every day, because otherwise children, when they see, in our country that doesn't happen, when they see anybody coming with a needle, scream, because pain constantly implanted, right? But alone in that room watching him with that IV dripping in his heart, in his vein, I used to say to God, "This is what I want for the rest of my life, to be connected." And then I'm sure, when the pain comes, you will bring more medication. When things are fine, I will be at peace. I don't want the pain out, ever. So you are maybe at the stage where you're just feeling nothing. I cannot even pray. I am so disappointed. I am hurt. Read the Psalms. David was too. Like, he was just like us. We're allowed to express our pain. He knows our sorrow. He knows what your next day brings. But the question is, are you connected to Jesus Christ? Church membership will not sustain you. Jesus alone will sustain you. When your child dies, we go and visit people that are dying with cancer back home. That's another ministry, hospice. And I visited the lady. I was at the funeral of the little girl, 6-year-old girl that died, and I also led the mother to the Lord years ago. But she chose a different path. I said, "Come on, you gotta pull out, because you know she's with Jesus." She doesn't want to be comforted. You have that choice too. So upset with God. Why me? Why me? Why me? And I cannot help her anymore. I finally said, "If you want any help, you have to call me. I have lost all my words of comfort. There's nothing else I can do." You can choose not to be comforted. See, in your life season of difficulty, when God is trying to kill some bugs so that you can bear more fruit next year, You can have whining ministry. Whining upon your bed. You get up in the morning, buy your cereal, back to the bagel and the green cheese. Whining, Lord. Whining, Lord. How much longer? Things are never going to change. And you get into that gutter of just existing. God is so much more for you. So when I'm in that stage where I start to speak about myself, just being, you know, I found this beautiful song. You know, internet is a wonderful thing. I remember years ago when we were in the ministry, there was no these things. I couldn't listen to another sermon. We couldn't be connected to another church. We were very alone, and it's a very lonely place. Today, I put Chris Tomlin's song, Jesus Messiah. And the back point of that is Jesus going to the cross. So whenever I feel down with my breakfast, I watch that, I listen to that. So what if it's every day? Now why do we forget? Somebody prayed the price for you. It was not easy for him. But that's how much he loves you. See people, we have this wrong picture. We think he doesn't love us. He forgotten about you. Well, he cannot forget you. Because he has it on his hands. He knows all about you. Psalm 103 says, he has seen your unformed body before it even came to be. He knows all about you. Are you parents? I'm the mother. I'm the grandmother. All I do, I constantly listen. I've been listening to children's pain all my life. Isn't that true for us mothers? You can go to sleep dead tired. I mean, trucks can be drilling next door. They can be drilling up there. I don't hear anything. And then the little whisper, shh, shh, shh. I hear it because it's my baby cry. It's my child calling. You are not an orphan. You are a child of God. He does not want you to walk around confused, lost, and whining over your next circumstance, no matter what, because he loves you. So he does send these winters. How long will they last? It's often up to you and me. If you want to whine longer, it's just going to be there for a long time because he has to deal with certain things to move you on. You cannot have an unforgiving attitude and want to go on. You cannot live with the sin that you know about in your heart and say, sorry, close your eyes, God, I'm just going to keep doing it. He can't. He's going to leave you there for a long time. So God is maybe showing you something today. I want to move you on. I want you to bear fruit. I want you to have a good life. And you say, no, I'm not going to let this one go. And then it's going to go on and on. You can have a joyful circumstances even in your trouble. Like, I remember people coming into the hospital room, the pastor that was our pastor in Stony Creek says, when I walk in here, it's like I'm walking into the sanctuary. It was the presence of God in the hospital room. Can that possibly be? I give all the glory to God. I have no strength of my own. But whatever it takes for you. So I wake up with Jesus Messiah, remembering what Jesus did for me. And when things are hard, well, just remember. Get ready. Be prepared. Like we're just constantly in this la-la line thinking, oh, only one more vacation, one more this, buy. And you don't get in there. But that's not going to satisfy your soul. Even today you're sitting thinking, if I can only change, what is it that you want to change? The God is saying, I put you there. I want you to go through that. So it's a buck healing process. Sin in our life has to go. And it changes. It keeps coming. When God sees fit, he's going to send us through another season so that we can bear more fruit. To bear fruit for him, it's the purpose of life. How wonderful it is for you and me to know that what we have, he actually ordained for us. And that is, we're going to bear fruit. Whether it's looking after whatever, a child, whatever the ministry is that God has placed us in. Don't be deceived thinking what you're doing is not important. Do you know who assigned you to a job? God did. The word clearly says that he has ordained your path. Right? So you can do it whiningly, grumbling, or wishing somebody else's life. Don't wish anybody else's life. Thank him. Accept it. And be ready. So that's number one. He kills the bugs. Number two, winter will definitely tell you which plants are annuals and which plants are perennials, right? I am not a gardener. I only said, the guy that came and did our backyard in the house, I said, just something that I don't have to do anything to it. That's basically it. So he did. That's what it is. It's green, this green, that green. Then everything is green, 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 green. You know, that, even the leaves don't fall off because that's too much work. Then occasionally I put, just like you now, I see, Costco is full of this, right? Wonderful. Don't they look nice? Well, they're only for a year, right? You don't expect them to be there next year. They're there, you put them there, they sort of make things look nice, and they are gone. That's what God is after us, to be a perennial, not to be just an annual, not to be a friend that's only be with somebody while things are nice. See how many friends you have that have been around while things are nice and find they're gone? Who are your really good friends? Winter will tell. Your hardship will tell. After a while, you say, right? God has a plan for you. He wants you to be there for a number of years, for ongoing, and He has a plan for you. Yeah, the perennials don't maybe look so pretty. They're not so flashy. But I've seen too many flashy people don't stay around too long. I put my faith in so many of the guys in the center. I said, that's going to be a good one. If that one comes, oh man, he's going to be the one. No, he wasn't. First trouble came, he's gone out shooting heroin again. In the church, somebody, you know, come, oh, great potential, finishing university, great speaker. That's going to be awesome. Oh, that's going to be a leader of our, you know, youth group and all that. Before you know it, the flashy, the beauty gone. And yet, on the other hand, there's an alcoholic who was drunk by the road, who is now a pastor of the church, who was going on and on and on. Not so pretty, not so nice. So who do you build your life around? Who is there speaking in your life? And what are you to other people? So if you're only flashing on your own plan, you're going to die with the first winter. You're going to die with the first trouble. The church that we pastor is about maybe 200 people at the moment. I'm sure there can be over 1,000 more. Hundreds and hundreds of people have left. You know why? Because they didn't get what they want. They only followed, same as with Jesus. They started following him while he was feeding them, while he was doing things. As soon as things they didn't like what they heard, trouble came, they walked around, done, right? Why are you following Jesus? What do you want from him? You only take the good? You don't want the bad? Because you don't understand that bad is very good for you. Bad is very good for you. I want to protect my kids. I have to go there every day. I'm going, I want each one of them. And we're all the same, right? What is our daily prayer? Me, my kids, and I, right? My kids and I. Let them be good, know them healthy, enough money, grandchildren good. I'm adding grandchildren to the list. We can be so prayerful for the things that we're passionate about. I never pray for trouble in their life. Rightly so, but I do pray that no matter what happens in their life, God will use it for their growth. Because looking at my own life, who knows where I would be if I didn't have all that, like we talked about. Truly makes us wear different clothing, right? Different clothing for winter. We have to dress appropriately. Dressing appropriately for the winter. We were at the beach somewhere in some exotic place that my sister owns one time, and I remember saying to this lady right in the water, chatting, you know, she said, oh, I live here. I said, lucky you. Lucky you. She said, no, I can't wait to go back to England to wear my nice boots. She's thinking about her boots. Because we forget. Let me tell you, I felt so good. Today I put my coat on that I wear maybe twice a year. I like the coat, but you know what? It's either too dressy or you're too warm. You don't know what it's going to be like. I'm thinking I have it. Why don't I wear it? We have to dress accordingly. Right now, you're not shopping for the summer stuff, right? You are shopping winter. You're thinking, dressing. I have this terrible fear of cold. It goes back to my childhood. I was 13 years old when we had the running water put into our house for the first time. So the bathroom was outside. That meant we're just, and by the way, no heating in the rooms. There's only kitchen that was heated. So the bedroom, I wake up in the morning and the ice is in the glass. So you go to bed like you're going on a skiing trip, including the head, everything, because it is so cold. And no matter what you wear, it's cold. And then you just, not only that, there's a tiling that we have a tiling roofs on the houses, and the mother puts it in the oven, and then we wrap it up in the towel, and we go to bed with it. Some of you 100 years old are not in your head. I remember. That was how I went to bed. And then you're just thinking, oh, warm. Can you imagine having this diarrhea problem like some kids have today? You gotta get out. Out in the cold in the other room. I remember that. I had this fear of cold. As soon as it starts cold, are you kidding? Socks, everything. I sleep with socks. I put it. Fear. Something about winter that fears me. To dress properly for the winter. What does it spiritually mean? You know it's going to get hard. If you have been living in the spring, summer season, it's beautiful. It all is well at the beach, right? We just had a little holiday. Everything is good at the beach. Nothing bothers you, right? It's all wonderful. But you know, life is not beach. Life is not summer all the time. It's going to get cold. Spiritually, too. Don't let it find you in a surprise. Even animals prepare. Even little ants prepare for winter. Everybody prepares for the winter. So we shouldn't be surprised. The Bible clearly talks to us how we can get our spiritual wardrobe. I understand that you talked about this, about the full armor of God to be prepared. You know, sometimes you read that where it's going over our head. Yeah, that's not for me. That's weird talk. That is you. That is your next phone call saying, excuse me, that pap smear check you had, you have to come back again. Right away, what do? There's this garment you can put on to keep warm. I always have in my purse here in Canada another set of clothing. Even though it's hot outside, you come into the mall, you come into the freezing section of the food basics and you're frozen, right? Well, not me, I'm ready. I got my shots, I even have them coordinated, so I'm nicely dressed. So I'm ready. So what is a garment spiritually for us mean? You know what it is? In Isaiah it says, the garment of praise. Yeah, right. How silly it is to carry all those clothes. I you know, it's a bother. I'm leaving. I got my money, I got my glasses, I got my phone, do I have this? I need that. Same is for spiritual. We take too many things for granted. When the time hits, you need to shout. You need to praise. What does that mean? Okay, I don't rejoice over this situation. I don't rejoice over this news. This is tough. I mean, I've lived through enough times that I can write a book about. Lived through war, refugees, listen to stories. 600 years, no electricity, no water in the house. Life was hard. Why? Many times the man says, why am I doing this? I can be living in summer. I can have a wonderful life. But God had a plan. But in and through it all, God said, you can still praise me. Not superficially, not fake. Deep in our heart, we can praise him for what? Because of what he did for me. Because of the promises that he made for me. Bible is full of it. So you need to wallpaper your bedroom, your bathroom, wherever you are, with the promises, your brain. Memorize the verses, which is a hard work. I'm trying very hard, but I'm working on it. Memorize scriptures. So when the phone call, when the disappointments, when, oh dear, people can do terrible things to you. Oh, there are days I've been looking through those, you know, we have in our country where, you know, where you look who died. There's some people I wish they died. We went through a church spin, we went through problems. I'm looking, I went through years of winter with my attitudes. So I'm not talking to somebody that has it all together. I shed too many tears, my sisters and friends, in the winters of my soul. And I wish somebody reminded me of these things, that I can lift up my head above all that, allow God to do the surgery in my heart, and praise him. What does
Praise doesn't just mean standing up here and singing and raising hands. Praise is my attitude. I love you. I thank you. You must have something amazing for me through this. I went through so many losses. Many, many losses. Young men in the center are another loss. I am already learning how not to get attached. That's another thing. If you've been through pain in your life, young child, you've been through abuse, all kinds of problems growing up, had the wrong picture of God, so I hardened my heart. I put my boots on, marching boots, be strong, keep at it, keep going, right? We can do it, we can do it. So we can choose that, or we can say, not my heart. I don't know what this is all about. Make me, change me, and I want to accept this, trusting you. Why? Because of his promises. Why? Because he is good. Why? Because the picture that we have of him, remember, is not anything else but love. He is all for you. You are not an orphan. You are loved by God, precious and loving. Whatever today brings, he has either ordained or allowed or orchestrated. He knows about it. He never goes on vacation. He never is gone. So remember that. Prepare. So as you're looking at the wardrobe this year, think of the praise. As you put your shawl on, remember to praise him in your circumstances. What is he like? I read the other day, John 13:14, and he really touched my heart. You know, just before Jesus goes to the cross, he's had it with his people, poured out his love. He's going to the cross. You know what he does? He bends down, he gets the basin, and he washes feet. What is he like? That's what he is like. He's washing your feet from whatever, where you dusted your feet from, wherever you're playing. And he's going to put some beautiful boots on you, the beautiful winter boots that you can walk, not the marching boots. I had to exchange mine, throw them away. Don't do anything for anybody for the wrong reason. Out of love for Christ, do it, walk in those beautiful boots. And lastly, at the end, I see the clock, I'm finishing. makes us appreciate the summer so much more. I've been through, lived through very bad times in my winter. I shared with you a little bit. But we get so sloppy. We get so forgetful. Oh, we read about Israel asking me, how could they ever forget? Shame on them. Look what God did for them. Oh, you know what? We're the same. Very quickly. I thought I would never forget. When Philip was healed, hallelujah, praise the Lord, for the rest of my days. Well, you know what? Very quickly. Yes, I'm thankful. Very quickly. I find a million other things to complain about. When we're in the situation, we're thinking, let just this thing change for good. Oh, I will forever be different. Well, we forget. Don't forget. Remember what God did. And when you're in a difficult time, and it will be, it's going to be over. And when you're in summer, if you're today there, rejoice, praise the Lord. Help somebody that maybe feels cold today. Maybe there's somebody around you. One person, two people. They come to your mind. Feeling really great. This message is way over my head. Everything is wonderful. Don't be selfish. Look around. Maybe somebody needs some new boots. Maybe somebody needs some new attitude. God is in love with you. He loves you too much to leave you the way you are. Get connected to him and finish well. Walking in the beautiful wardrobe of praise in your inner heart. That's what I wish for you.